We're in the third week of our storm series, going through the storms. Have you ever been disobedient and your disobedience causes someone else to encounter a storm in their life? I'm starting it out this way because it's very easy for us to first of all think about all the idiots that have caused us storms by their disobedience, but let's just start and be honest. I was talking to my folks this week and my parents, and I was thinking about all the storms that I've put them through. Like when that 1978 Buick Regal went airborne and up on and flat, and I walked away unscathed. I was great, but the car was totally ruined. Or the story that I'll tell next week about how when I was in graduate school suffering a nervous breakdown, a mental break, and talking to my mom this week about all that that put them through. Sometimes your disobedience can cause other people to go through a storm they don't deserve. They didn't do anything to deserve it, but they're in it. Some of you have gone through a storm caused by the disobedience of others. You have a line of, this lineage, this heritage in your family of people who drink too much, and you suffer in that. You can suffer, verbal abuse or mental abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, and all those things you didn't bring on yourself. This was the disobedience of someone else, and it's caused you emotional pain, and it's caused you to go through a storm that you might not even be through, and it was nothing that you did. It was just flat out somebody else's disobedience. An employer, someone who has power, can cause a storm in someone else's life who doesn't have power. A dishonest person can cause a storm in an honest person's life. A child can cause a storm in their parent's life, and a parent can cause a storm in a child's life. Wives can cause storms in husbands' lives. Can I get an amen on that? But husbands can cause storms in wives' lives. Oh, come on. You know, it's Mother's Day. Like, we're getting ours right now. And all the men were afraid to say amen. They were like, amen. Sometimes in life you go through storms because other people have been disobedient. Oh, yeah, you can go through storms because you've been disobedient. You can go through storms when you're following Jesus and you're doing things you think you're following him right. Storms just happen. But there are times when other people's disobedience causes a storm. And then what do we do in the middle of that? So we want to immediately go to Scripture. And I want to point out a story of where Paul was going through a storm. And I want to just give you some pastoral helps if you're going through a storm in your life. And I want to encourage you. First, we need to look at a map. Here's what's going on in the background. Paul is traveling from Jerusalem all the way to Italy. He's headed to Rome. He's a prisoner right now, and there's over 200 men on this boat, and they're traveling in the fall of the year. They're leaving Jerusalem down here on the far right-hand side. They're going up north of Cyprus. As you can see, this route that they're taking is actually keeping them safe in this time of year because at any moment you could have a big storm. It's kind of iffy, should you really be traveling at this time of year? And they're headed, if you look in the middle, there's Crete, there's an island. They stop there at Fair Havens. And at this moment, they're deciding of whether we either spend the winter here or we sail on. There was some nice breeze, some southerly winds came, and man, they were just thinking, we're going to be able to make it. It shouldn't be any problem. This is where we find the story picking up in Acts 27 as Paul is on this boat. Acts 27:10, men, Paul said, I believe or I perceive there is trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, and danger to our lives as well. I perceive, I sense that something is going to happen, something is going to go wrong. As he shares this early on in the voyage, I was reminded that in a storm, before a storm or after a storm, you still have, as a believer, you have the mind of Christ. Follow me on this. How is it that Paul is telling them, hey, I just perceive this, I sense this? You can find in the book of Acts, many times the apostles, when they would gather together, they would say, it seems right to us and the Holy Spirit. Do you remember how Scripture would say that? Where are they getting that from? They're getting that from the inner witness, the witness of the Holy Spirit that actually gives us the mind of God on a matter. So Paul is saying to them, not just, hey, I just kind of think, you know, he doesn't know anything about sailing like these men. These are professionals who are sailing. They have invested, they have cargo, they have financial interest in this. But Paul's saying, I believe the Spirit of God is saying we should not go on. I have the mind of God in this matter. Wouldn't it be great to have the mind of God on every situation in your life? Wouldn't you love to be able to wake up in the morning and say, I don't know everything, but this I have on this situation, the mind of Christ on that issue. What peace you would have. 1 Corinthians 2:16, Paul would write to the church in Corinth later. He said, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. How is it that we have the mind of Christ? Well, if you have the spirit of a man, you have the mind of the man. And if you have the Spirit of God, you have the mind of God. And so we who believe in Jesus have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. A third of the Trinity dwells in you and me who believe. So we actually have access to God's thoughts. We have access to His wisdom. Proverbs says, wisdom is your sister, and insight a close relative. You just need to have a family reunion. You'll have understanding and knowledge and wisdom and everything that you need to move forward even through the storm. 1 John 2:20, this is one of my favorites. Listen to this. Here's what it says. Talking about saints, believers in Jesus. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. And you know all things. Now, if you're here today and you're in high school, you already knew this verse. You're in college, you already know that you know everything. Because we knew everything when we were in college, too. It's amazing how we get dumber as we get older. You have an anointing from the Holy One. I'm speaking to you right now. And you know all things. I always get funny looks when I say this verse because people are like, I don't know what I'm doing. I wish I knew. This is an encouragement from John saying, you have an anointing of the Holy Spirit on your life. And the Holy Spirit lives in you. And the sheep will know His voice. And another voice they will not know. But we need to get to know His voice. You have the Holy Spirit in you, and you have the Spirit like a GPS guiding you what is safe, what is out, like an umpire telling you where to go. And you don't have to go far. You just make that 13-inch journey from your brain trying to figure everything out down into your heart, into your soul where the Spirit of God lives. And you ask God, God, would you direct me and would you guide me? You can confidently say every single day, I have an anointing from the Holy One, and I already know all things. He's going to show me where to go. He's going to show me what to do. He is going to lead me. We've gotten in this habit in our family when we don't know what we're doing, which is most of the time, we will still finish the sentence with, God's leading us and He's taking care of us. We don't say, God's leading us and taking care of us, but this sure is miserable and we're never going to make it. We say, man, this looks complicated and tough, but God's leading us and He's faithful. And we have an anointing from the Holy One, so we know all things. He's going to show us. And He's going to lead us and guide us. This is what Paul had. This is what we can have in the middle of every storm. Listen, while everyone else might be led by fear and anger and revenge and a desire for control, you can keep being led by the Holy Spirit. Let me speak to people who've gone through it with your ex or may be still going through it. They cray cray. What do you expect? There are people in your life that are crazy. They are cars without a driver going down the road of life. Am I right or am I right? And before you knew God, you didn't have the Spirit of God showing you what to do, so who were you influenced by? You'd watch the news, you'd be influenced. You'd be influenced by the spirit of this age. They might not be possessed by the devil, but they're influenced by the devil. Were we not once just like that? Well, how else would they be led? So they're going to do things that are crazy. They're going to leave you messages on your phone that are absolutely insane, that if you listen to those over and over again, you'll want to respond in kind. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. Amen. And the Holy Spirit will show you what to say and show you what to do. But let me pass you for a minute. It is on you as a believer to be of a different spirit, to bless those who persecute you, to pray for those who spitefully use you, to be the one that is different than everyone else in the situation. When you go into the courtroom, you're going in as a blood-bought saint who follows the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to show you to do things that don't even make sense. He's going to tell you to give when you want to take. He's going to tell you to give up control when all you want to do is get control. He's going to tell you not to seek revenge when all you want is to kill him. Don't look at me like that. You've prayed for him, all right. You said, Lord, I don't care if it's a bread truck or a big truck or a little truck. Strike him down, Lord Jesus. But it should be make me more like Jesus. That's what it should be. And that situation can be that way, but we have to be led by the Spirit of God. He'll show you what to do in that situation. You don't respond the way you always used to respond. You don't get back the way you always used to get back. That's the game that they're playing. What I've found is when I listen to what the Holy Spirit says and I obey those things, even though it doesn't make sense many times in my own carnal desires, he'll actually use that response to solve part of the issue or the problem. He'll actually use that to start softening people's heart, maybe even bringing them to him. But that's the only thing you have to do. You have to follow the Holy Spirit in the middle of those situations when everyone else is going crazy. So it goes on. Acts 27 through 20, it says this. The terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars until all hope was gone. Have you ever been on a boat that's moving too much? And as soon as some people start to get sick, then that encourages you in that same direction. And I was on a boat one time off the coast of Miami, and we were going to do some snorkeling and stuff, but the waves were big. And dude, I can't spin around three times without getting sick. So I was very sensitive. And me and about 20 other people were putting breakfast in the ocean, you know what I'm saying? And that was just an afternoon. I finally just laid down, my face green, like begging for it to stop. And even when we got to shore, you know how it is, you still feel like, is the whole world moving right now? That was half a day. They were 14 days eating very little food here and there, not seeing the sun, not seeing any light, and in the middle of a storm where it looked like they were going to die at any moment, where it came to a point that they actually wanted to die. Over 200 men on this ship, and they wanted to die. They had given up all hope of ever surviving. Have you been in a storm so long that you think it's just, that's the way life is going to be forever and ever? The temptation is to get bitter. The temptation is to get angry. The temptation is to question God and lose all of your hope. And hope deferred makes the heart sick. And pretty soon you're not just in a storm, but your heart broken. And I want to encourage you today. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Don't get bitter or blame God. He's going to pull you through. Here's what it says in Hebrews 10:35. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings to you. Don't throw away your trust in God. Galatians 6:9 says, don't grow weary in doing good. For in due season, if you don't lose heart, you will reap a harvest. But there's endurance all in that, isn't there? It says, don't lose heart. If I could say one thing to you, you're in a storm. Listen, keep going. Keep fighting. Keep going through. Keep believing God. Keep trusting God. Keep reading your Bible. Keep praying. Keep coming to church. Keep blessing other people. Keep giving. Keep going. Keep going. You may have came here today and said, this is it. This is my last hope. This is it. Listen, this is not your last hope. There is hope. As long as there is breath, God has a plan. As long as you have breath, God has a purpose. As long as you have breath in your lungs, God is at work in your life. And he is going to bring you through that. Just you don't give up. Do not give up. The story goes on, Acts 27, 21 through 26. This is where it gets good. No one had eaten for a long time. Finally, Paul called the crew together and he said, "Men, you should have listened to me in the first place." Men love to say that, don't we? It's the old "I told you so." I didn't even get any amen from any man. They're like, "No, we never say that." Said, "You would have avoided all this damage and loss, but take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship is going to go down. For last night, an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me, and he said, 'Don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar.'" Is that supposed to be good news? Like, "Paul, you're not going to die here. We've got another place where you're going to die." "Don't be afraid, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you." Paul says, "So take courage, for I believe God. It will be just as he said, but we will be shipwrecked on an island." This, to me, is this not life? Is this not the essence of life? I believe God. It will be to me as he says it's going to be. But we're going to lose the whole boat. It's going to go down. Jesus said, "You're going to have trouble in the world. I mean, be of good cheer. My joy I leave with you. My peace I'm leaving with you." The bad news is you're going to need all that because trouble's coming. If I face trouble, how much you think you're going to face? You're going to face trouble too if you belong to me, because I face trouble in this world. There's trouble, there's tribulation, there's storms. This to me feels like life. Be of good cheer. Cheer up. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. But it's going to be rough as heck out there. I'm not going to lie to you. Some days are just going to suck. You're going to face storms. Man, this is great. God is with you and he is for you. But this whole boat is, to hell in a handbasket. It's going down. This to me is so much the essence of what life is about right now before we go and see him. Be of good cheer. Fight the good fight of faith. Hold on to your faith. Hold on to your joy. Hold on to your peace, because everything in life wants to rip it away. But we're not going to let it rip away. We're going to hold on to it. See, when your storm usually doesn't end when you want or how you want. Have you noticed this? Because if you could end your storm, it would have been yesterday, right? You're like, "I'm done with that. I feel like my character's good enough right now, Jesus. Thanks." And it doesn't always end up the way you want it. The picture-perfect way that a storm ends and there's just this nice bow. But relationships don't work that way. Sometimes there's not a nice, neat bow. Sometimes there's other residual things that drag on for years and decades that you have to continue to deal with, right? And there's people in your life that continue year after year to shape your character. You wish they weren't there. They might wish you're not there, but there you are. It doesn't always end the way you want it to end. Paul comes up on shore. They come to Malta and they hit the shore, and the boat breaks into pieces, and they're floating, on broken pieces of this boat up to shore, and it's cold and it's dark and it's wet, and they've been 14 days, and he comes up and they start to build a fire because they're all cold and wet. And as soon as he builds a fire and it gets warm, a venomous snake comes up and bites him on the hand. At this point, this is when most of us, if we were honest, look up to heaven and say, "Really?" We love that word, don't we? "Really?" Paul didn't do that. Paul shook that thing off into the fire. The people there saw it was a venomous snake, and they waited for him to swell up and die. When he didn't die, they called him a god. And don't you know, Paul probably used that in that moment to give glory to God. Say, "I don't have anything to do with this. This is just the God I serve. He just protects me." You're like, "I don't know if I want your God. You were 14 days out there and then come here and get a snake bite. Now you're just praising God." This is, I'm pretty sure, where Taylor Swift got the inspiration for the song "Shake It Off." No? Some of you are like, "Who's Taylor Swift?" REO Speedwagon, "Riding the Storm Out." Are you with me now? Okay, maybe that's where they... Okay, we got three people clapping on that. Lena Horne, stormy weather. Who's with me? No? Okay. I'm trying. Let's move on. I really believe this. Is this true to you? God can use every storm to your advantage and to help others. He's not the author of our problems. He's the author of our solutions. And he doesn't go around causing storms in our life. I don't believe that. I don't believe that most of the stuff that we're talking about now where other people and their disobedience has caused the storm. But God hasn't caused it, but he sure can use the heck out of it. You go through a storm in life and it brings you closer to Jesus. Can anybody say, yeah, that's actually happened? I'm closer to Jesus because of a storm. Okay, further, let me ask you this. How many of you have gone through a storm, whether somebody else is disobedient, something very difficult, and God has brought you through, and the next thing you know, you're talking to somebody else, encouraging them and giving them words of hope because they're in the middle of that storm too. Anybody? Man. Dude, is there anything more fulfilling than finding your purpose in the storm was just to glorify God? I'm not saying that he caused it. I'm saying that he uses the heck out of it. I like sharing my testimony because people look at me and say, wow, if God could use you, I guess he could use anybody, couldn't he? Like, yeah. Listen, if he can pull you through that storm, he's given you words of hope and words of life for other people who are going through that storm right now. That's the way the body of Christ works. That's the way God intends it. So what you end up doing is you come out of your storm and you're thinking, I never want to remember that or think about that again until somebody comes up to you and says, I too struggle with that. What'd you do? And you get to give words of life to them and they're encouraged. And now you're like, man, God, you didn't cause that. But I am so pumped that you're using that in my life. I would have never known. Thank you, Father, for that. That's how he redeems what he doesn't ordain. He didn't necessarily ordain it, but he can redeem the heck out of it. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2 says this. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to this life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. I like this part. Listen. Let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. And here's how we do it. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. He's the author of our faith. He initiated our faith, but he's also the perfecter of our faith. He who started a good work on the inside of you will be faithful to complete it. And when it comes through some storms, man, your faith gets stronger and you get better and you come out on the other side better, a better follower of Jesus, with more character, with more integrity, and with greater faith, a faith that will last, that's been through the fire. When you put metal through the fire, the dross comes to the top, gets skimmed off, and that metal becomes stronger. And many of us can attest to the fact that the storms that we've been through have left us stronger in God. I would encourage you, do not lose hope. Keep going. Now, what do you need to do? This is why, for me, daily Bible reading and prayer are essential for my storm. Let me just pastor you again for just a second. It takes an average of 3 minutes and 45 seconds to read a chapter in the Bible. Now, on your way out today, there's going to be the opportunity. These are always out there, called Project 345. The cool thing about Project 345, you get a neat bracelet. My wife tells me we need pink bracelets too, so we might have to invest. But you can get a bracelet as a reminder, Project 345. But then also, every day of the week and every day of the year, there's just a chapter that you can read. If you want to be really super great and spiritual, then you just go ahead and read more if you want. That's fine. But don't talk to me about it. I'm just reading the chapter. 3 minutes and 45 seconds. If you miss a day, then you just tell Jesus, Jesus, would you read that one for me? I'm scratching that off the list because he's already read all the scriptures. So you just let him do the work for you. No condemnation. We don't do this to get saved. We do this because we are saved. We don't do this to be religious. We do this because the Spirit of God lives in us, and his grace doesn't allow us to do whatever we want. His grace empowers us to do what he wants us to do. You following what I'm saying? So we're doing this by his grace. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to be bold. I know usually I'm not. That was a joke. Thanks, Mom, for laughing. I wish I could sit across the table from you individually, just one-on-one right now. As your pastor, if I could ask you to do anything in your life, you say, is there one thing, Rob, that you'd want us to do? I would want you, by the grace of God, every morning that you wake up, to open this word and be nourished by it. Just a chapter. You say, Rob, I'm not much of a reader. Then you can listen to it online. There's all kind of apps. You say, I don't understand what I'm reading. It's okay. It understands you. The Holy Spirit wrote this, and the Holy Spirit lives in us. And so the author is present whenever we read it. And I can't describe to you what it's done for me and what it continues to do in my life, but I cannot survive without the Word of God. There's something that God does. And here's why. When we sit and read the Word, we're saying, Father, above my mind, above my intellect, above my storm, above my problems, above my ability, I'm going to submit to your Word. And God is looking at his Word to honor it. You want to see a change in your attitude? You want to see a change in your joy? You're struggling with depression and sadness? I would encourage you to start by opening the Word of God every morning and saying, Father, would you just speak to me? We got 3 minutes and 45 seconds, and then you just say some prayers. It sets your heart. How many of you say, this sets your heart right? Have you notice this? It aligns you due north with the Father. So I'm going to ask you to join me, Project 345, every single morning and read the Word. You're going to need that for the storm that's either coming or the storm that you're in right now. This kind of determination that I'm going to serve you, Father. Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19 says it this way. This is a determination. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, nor produce of the olive fail, and all this first stuff means I can't pay my bills, my kids are acting crazy, I don't have a car, it's all broke down, the washing machine's broke, even though, and then it goes, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength, and he makes my feet like the deer's, and he makes me tread on my high places. This is the kind of determination in a storm. No matter what's going wrong, no matter what's going on, yet I'm going to worship you. I'm going to spend time in your word. I'm going to look to you. I'm not going to blame you. I'm going to stop asking why, and I'm going to start asking to what end, and I'm going to get with you. Now, I got to close with this thought, and I got to go. I got to talk quick. So to our precious signer, I'm so sorry for how fast I'm going to talk right now, but we love you and we appreciate you. But your hands are going to hurt. Okay. Why doesn't God just stop all of the sin in the world? He's all powerful. Why doesn't he just stop all of these bad things from happening? You don't think he has the power to stop pedophiles, sex trafficking? So I want your mind to go here with me for a moment. What would you like him to do? I know, if I were God for a day, Lord forbid, you just step out on the clouds and you just have an act of power and domination and you just stop the sin in the world. But he would only do that by taking over a control of your will and the will of every other person on the planet. What would he do? Maybe make everybody fall asleep as soon as they start to sin. So they've arrested the bank robbers outside the bank. They were just dead asleep there on the sidewalk, downtown Cincinnati. Thank you, God. See, the problem with that, and we reason in this way, and we think, what if he's all powerful? Would he just stop sin? Why can't he just stop it? But we forget that the way that he decided to stop all sin was not by external control, but what was by internal control by the Holy Spirit. But the price had to be paid by his son, Jesus Christ, who bore all the sins of the world himself, died with them, and then came back from the dead, so that those of us who believe, we choose to believe in him. We confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, we believe in our heart that God saves us, and then he redeems us, and now we are no longer part of the problem as we were. We're now part of the solution. This isn't just one way that God picked out of the sky. This is the only way by which men can be saved. This is the way that he decided to save the world. See, here's something that we forget, because we think of this all-powerful God. We forget that God will never force you to do anything. And he always honors your freedom to make your choice. Think of that for a moment. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Almighty God says this. He does not say, I stand at the door with a SWAT team and a battering ram, and we're coming in, whether you like it or not. Did he just barge into your life? Did he force you to do anything? Did he force Pharaoh to believe? Did he force? You can't find anywhere in Scripture where God forces anything against a person's will. And so there's sin in the world. When there's sin in the world, you know what the problem is? You and me. It goes no further than above our head. God has never lied. God has never abused. God has never used drugs. He's never had a bad thought. He's never said a bad word. He's never hurt or harmed one of his children. He is a good, good father. So if you see problems in the world, you can blame me or blame yourself or blame your daddy or your aunt or your uncle or somebody, but don't blame God. He sent his son as a sacrifice for sin, and that's how he answers all of the sin in the world. We don't need to pray against sin. We need to pray that people would find Jesus Christ. Because when you find Christ, you get the Spirit of God and his righteousness and his holiness. And he becomes the answer to it all. Would you stand with me? I hope this has encouraged you today and helped you. And especially if you're going through a storm right now. I know one person that's extremely blessed was that new lady that won that prize. So if even just one was touched, it was all worth it. Now, the fact is we come together because the Scripture teaches us to come together. Jesus said that he wanted to build his church. And he said, you know, the Scripture says, don't forsake the assembly of the brethren. That means coming together. There's something dynamic that happens as we gather as God's church. We get encouraged. We get to worship him. Many of us need a crowd in order to sing really well. Or just to sing, I mean. And then we give, and we worship with our tithes and our offerings, and then we listen to his word, and God is honored in that, and we're encouraged. But missionary work begins on Monday. I have the easiest job in the world. I'm talking to you, and you're easy to talk to, and gracious and kind, and laugh at all my cheesy jokes. But the crowd that you're going to face tomorrow is the crowd that God is sending you into as a missionary. You are in full-time ministry. And he has people in your life that he wants you to touch. And that's why he sent you there. That's why you're working where you're working. That's why you have the family that you have. That's why you're in the places that you're at, is because he's sending you as a light into the world. So I've done this the last couple weeks. I won't necessarily do it forever, but I just feel led again to do this, that we would have this confession as we leave together. And then I'll have a little prayer that God will be with us. But if you are willing, would you repeat this after me? I am a minister of the Most High God. The Spirit of God is upon me. And this week I will bring good news to the poor, freedom to the oppressed, and light to dark places. I have God's divine favor upon me everywhere I go. Let me pray for you. Father, we just thank you that we are all in full-time ministry and you're sending us out this week. God, I pray that you'd give us strength, that you'd give us inner strength, that you'd have us rooted and grounded in your love, that you'd give us wisdom and insight. Father, I thank you that we have an anointing from the Holy One and we know all things, God, by your power and your might. So send us out as your light and as your salt. And God, may people be changed as a result of their interaction with us. May they draw closer to you. And we thank you, Father, for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week.